And I never seen myself without six pack.
Really? Yeah. You've never been out of shape?
No, never.
What did you eat like as a kid?
My mom was very particular about eating right. Eating vegetables, drinking a lot of water, sleeping on time. One day I came to see my brother doing karate and they were having a tournament. Someone was missing. They asked me if I want to replace. I replaced and I won the whole thing.
How'd you start getting into some of this mobility stuff that you do now?
I've always been doing practicing flexibility and mobility exercise even when I was younger, but not to this degree.
You're in a sport of fighting where it's one of, actually I think it's the most physically demanding sport because people are hitting you, you're getting all these hits, and most people get out of that because of all of the stress to the body. They don't feel good over time. But as you continue to age, you're continuing to get stronger, you're maintaining your flexibility, you're aging well. So what would you attribute that to?
I'm aging well, 46, 47, 48. I think even when I reach my 50, I think I'll just be just as good and I think even better.
Have you ever been depressed?
No.
I didn't think so.
Did you have the same approach for wins and losses early in your career?
Yes. I never threw a tantrum, never, you know, swear and be angry and have like all these things. I don't need to.
What was it like winning your first championship?
Damn, I was happy. I think I was.
It must have felt amazing. All the years of training.
Amazing. And not all your years of training, but also this is something that I saw. That's something that I visualized. That's something that I wanted. This was my goal.
Yeah. Did it bother you at all? Because Bob Sapp is, he's enhanced. He's been on, I mean, I think everybody knows he was on a lot of stuff. Yeah. Did that ever like stop you from wanting to fight him?
No, actually, most of my opponent, older opponent, some of them who has been into something or someone come and tell me that opponent is probably taking this or that. Mm-hmm. I couldn't care, man.
Have you ever fought Andrew Tate? Yeah, a lot of the stuff I've seen you do almost looks like you're doing like jujitsu against the ground a lot of times. You know, it's like you versus the ground.
So I think
so good. That was so good.
You.
Man, I knew you were athletic, but that's unbelievable. That almost looks fake.
Almost.
You see, hater will say it's fake.
Power Project family, this episode is brought to you by Vivo Barefoot Shoes. Now, we've been wearing Vivos for over a year now, and we've been loving these shoes because unlike your normal lifting shoes, Converse, etc., they have a wide toe box because we have some wide fat feet. But for everybody, you need to be able to spread your feet within your shoes, and then you want them compacted. So they have a wide toe box. They're also thin, and they're also extremely flexible. Unlike most shoes that people wear, they don't move, okay? You're putting your foot into a cast, which isn't good for the strength of your feet. And as athletes and lifters, our force is generated from the ground. So we need shoes that we can express our strength through, and that's why we love Vivo. They also look f***ing amazing. They don't look like shit, Andrew.
No, they don't. Not at all. These are my absolute favorite shoes. And, you know, we could talk and brag about them, but you really just got to get your awesome feet into these amazing shoes. You guys got to head over to vivobarefoot.com/powerproject. When you guys go there, you'll see a backstory on why we love these shoes so much. But when you're ready to purchase, make sure you guys use promo code POWERPROJECT20 to save 20% off. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes.
I just feel like sometimes you get used to something and you don't necessarily need it, but you just get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you try it, you get used to it, and you think that you need it. But actually, you don't need it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you rely on it.
And yeah, you rely on it, yeah.
Yeah.
But so, what if you just enjoy it, though? Like, okay. like coffee. Coffee's good.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
It's an addiction.
No, but but the whole ritual, like, dude, if we were hanging out and we went and got a cup of coffee, like, that's cool. Like, I like that. Like, I'm not going to have a decaf, though.
Yeah, yeah, but, then, like, but then most people get addicted.
Of course.
Yeah. Most people that I know, they just get addicted.
Mm-hmm.
So if they start with coffee, they're having coffee all the time. Mm-hmm. They can't do. And then guess what? They have coffee, and because they get addicted, now they have problems sleeping. So I have a friend, he's been drinking coffee so much that now he can't sleep. So now he's taking pills to sleep. You see what I mean?
Oh,
so,
yeah, overcorrecting. Yeah,
yeah. So just a whole mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, people are like, I don't know why I can't sleep. And they have thousands of milligrams of caffeine every single day.
Like, but I need the caffeine because I'm tired. And it's just a vicious cycle. Yeah,
vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. There you go.
You probably feel pretty good energy-wise because you're always moving. Like, between the mobility drills you're doing, lifting. I don't know if you do any like running as well?
Yeah.
You do some running, and on top of it, all the MMA type stuff that you're doing. You're constantly moving, and you probably have been since you were a kid.
Yeah.
Started like some sports when you were real young, and probably just never looked back, right?
Never looked back, and just being consistent. And all year round, I have to say that I kept the same shape, the same form. Like, say, since I'm 19, I have the same weight and pretty much the same form since I'm 19.
Man, imagine running into him at 19. Like, dang.
By the way, guys, he's 230 pounds at 5'11".
And how old are you now?
46.
Wow. Yeah. That's great.
And what was I going to say?
The
yeah, since I'm 19, same weight, and I never seen myself without six pack.
Really? Yeah. You've never been out of shape?
No, never. Never. So often I travel back home. Are we on already?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are we on?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So often I travel back home and I see some friend, right? So they're doing bodybuilding or, you know, whatever the competition they're doing. And they have season where they're in shape and they're not in shape. Oh. So when they're not in shape, they're like completely bloated and they're like 20 kilo heavier. They're like really big, really fat, you know. And they say, I'm off season. I'm just taking my time. And when it's going to be time, I'm going to lose all the weight. I'm going to get fit and so on. And it's true. When it's time, they are shredded, right? But it's something that I never could understand. This will never be me. I cannot understand that I'm taking 20 kilo of fat and then I have to lose it 6 months later. I just don't get it.
Uh-huh.
You see, so for every time we see each other, I'm always the same, right? It's me. I'm always the same, same weight, same shape, always, every year, anytime, right? And they're always changing. So sometimes I see them and they're like, boom, like bloated. Totally different, like a different person, like 20, 30 mm-hmm. kilo heavier, like really big, really fine. And I think it's very unhealthy, but that's just me.
Yeah.
Could you imagine doing that in another sport? Imagine doing that with fighting. You know, if I came up to you and said, hey, let's spar. And you were like, no, like I'm in the off season. Like I really kind of forgot how to throw my kicks and punches, right? Like they don't do it in other sports. It's just in bodybuilding. I'm in my off season. It's like an excuse to be fat, get a little plump. But I think they're just trying to put on some extra muscle, right?
Yeah.
In their defense.
Yeah.
So have you ever bulked? Have you ever purposefully like tried to get heavier? Like when you were younger, before that, did you ever try to just bulk and gain weight, or did you just slowly get to your weight and you've been the same weight since?
No, in fact, I remember when we were teenager, mm-hmm. my brother and I, my older brother, I was 15 or 16, and we were doing, there was a competition going on. And during the elimination, we both got to the final.
It's a martial arts competition?
Martial arts competition. Okay. So we both got to the final and we had to fight each other. And I remember we fought each other and I was serious. I really wanted to get, you know, I wanted to hurt him. Oof. You know, I have to be honest. I wanted to hurt him. At the time, I thought that he was bullying me. I thought, you know, I had some grudge against him. I thought he was better than me. And I love him. I love my brother. But, you know, we had that that rivalry going on since we were a kid. And it was a positive rivalry, right? Mm-hmm. So, and it really has helped us, you know, to, you know, mold us to what we are today. But anyway, we fought and I wanted to hurt him and I lost the fight. He got me, he beat me, but he beat me nicely. He didn't hurt me.
Yeah.
But during the fight, I wanted to take his head off. I remember I was really mean. I was like vicious. I wanted to hurt him. I didn't manage, but I learned a lot from that fight. And then after the fight, my mom was not happy. So she asked us to never do that again, never compete against each other. And then we had to choose. One of us has to go up in weight and the other one has to stay down. And that was the only time I remember thinking about gaining weight too quickly to go up and he stayed down because he had I was catching up to him too quickly. So it was easy for me to gain weight. It was easy for me to gain weight. And I think I was 14 and he was 16. So it was easy for me to gain weight. So I decided I went up and then he stays down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was it for your mom? Because you said she put you in a, she put all of you guys in martial arts, but how was it? How did she manage to watch you guys get hit as children? You know, usually parents are scared of letting their kids get into martial arts, and you, you were doing striking martial arts.
Yeah.
So kickboxing, Muay Thai. How did, why did she do that?
My mom is pretty tough.
Okay.
She's not the average mom. Mm-hmm. In Africa, I think you coming from Africa, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know.
You have an idea. No, my mom is pretty tough. She mean it. So she needed us to be stronger, to be independent, to be able to take care of ourselves, and that was it. So she didn't care. You have to go and do martial arts. You have to learn how to, you have to be like she always say, be a man. You know, learn how to be a man. You know, grow up.
Was your dad there?
Yeah, my dad was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he was always busy with work and stuff. Dad is not taking care of the house. So mom is like in charge. She take care of the house, and the house include the kids and school and stuff like that. And that's Africa.
Yeah.
Dad is provide and he do his job, and mom take care of the house.
Did you learn English in school? Like where did you go to school? Like
born in Cameroon. Cameroon is bilingual, so it's French and English. Yeah.
But, base. You learned it early on. Okay.
But at the time, you know, I was doing French school, so it was mainly French. So English was just the basic, like, you know, what's your name and stuff like that. Yeah.
It must have been really helpful as you became a fighter and getting better fights and stuff like that, being able to communicate really well, right? I'm sure that's a big part of it.
I think it was traveling that that helped, because you meet different people, you go into different country, and you have no choice than to have to learn the local language. So I think traveling has helped a lot, and you know, because you're in a situation where you have to speak, you know, you didn't have a choice. But obviously, starting from at school, it helped. You know, from the basic that we learned was something already. And coming back to your question about my mom, she never came to watch me fight.
Oh.
Actually, never, ever. She was she never felt comfortable, you know, with the idea of seeing her kids getting hit.
Mm-hmm.
So she wanted us to be tough. She wanted us to learn martial arts. She thought it was a good thing. She thought that as a parent, you need to get your kids to be, to learn discipline, but also to learn respect. And she has those values, you know, up there. She has those values up there, and she needed us to have this value. And until today, I really thank her for that, you know, making sure that we're going, you know, on that path. Mm-hmm. I think it was the best thing that could have happened to us. And I'm very grateful that I managed to go and go as far as I could go and be the person that I am today, you know.
Do you also speak some Chinese as well?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I was finding it amazing when people, like, we've had a bunch of people on the show lately that have been able to speak like multiple languages. I find that to be fascinating.
Yeah.
Is that something you learned later? One. I know.
And we don't even do it correctly.
Right? Is that something you learned later on because now you live in Hong Kong?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just picked it up. I would be like, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah. I'm still stuck on the statement, I've never been out of shape. Just because, like, here in America, like, that's like one of the biggest topics, right? Is like, how do I lose weight, or how do I get jacked? How do I do this and that? And you're like, I have never had to worry about it. But obviously it wasn't like free, but I'm curious, what did you eat like as a kid? Like, what was your diet, if you can remember?
In Africa, I think we eat a lot of meat, but personally in our household, my mom was very particular about eating right, eating vegetable, drinking a lot of water, sleeping on time, waking up earlier. She was really on point, you know, on this habit.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure to drink enough water. Have you drank water in the morning? First thing you do when you wake up, drink water first. A bottle of water, finish it. You finish a bottle of water. And I remember I have 7 siblings, right? 6 brothers, 1 sister. And she has to make sure that each one of us drank his water. Each one of us has his breakfast. He's a rich one. So I remember she was really particular about that. So eating was correct, and you get those habits and you never stop. And because I was into the sport and I started doing competition at a very young age, I understood the importance of being healthy. I think at a young age, I understood that already. So for me, if my friend was like smoking, I didn't want to join them. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't want to join them because I thought, no, I can't do that. You know, I'm competing soon. So I have to make sure to sleep. I need to go home. I need to sleep because my teacher say I need to rest. So I'm going to go home and rest. And so you see, so this idea of resting, yep. sleeping, not joining the crowd and not joining them to smoke or whatever, because this will not go with me competing. I don't want to lose. I need to win and so on. So that mentality, you know, we started with that mentality and we never stopped. Mm-hmm. So I think creating those habit has just, you know, helped me grow myself into, you know, the person that I am. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As a kid, I'm curious about this. Did you ever, since you were in martial arts, a lot of parents think that if they put their child in fighting, their child will be violent, mm-hmm. right?
But yeah, I know that. I spoke to some parents mm-hmm. who had those ideas. Oh, I don't want him to be violent because he's going to learn this and he's going to fight. And I always take myself as an example. Mm-hmm. I always say to them, look, when I was a kid, my parents put me into martial art. And since they put me into martial art, I never had a fight outside of the ring or outside of the competition. I never needed to. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew that I was, you know, above. I knew that I was good. I knew that I was strong. I knew that I could defend myself. And I knew the value of martial art, meaning respect and not terrorizing people and not being aggressive. I was always there to help others. And yeah. actually, this has brought me more trouble than anything else. You know, trying to help others. I was always like, if someone getting bullied, I'm going to be there. And it's going to bring me trouble because people are going to be angry with me and then so on and so on. I almost got stabbed in Africa mm. because of that. I have a lot of people who were, you know, against me just because of that, because I was always interfering with whatever that they were doing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And I just felt a sense of responsibility. I felt like because I'm strong, I should intervene. I always, mm-hmm. if someone, you know, grab somebody back over there and start running, I'm going to chase the person. I'm always going to find myself doing that. You know, if a girl get harassed, I'm going to be there. So I was always, you know, always, my mom has to come and bail me from the police station because, you know, I was in a fight. I was in a fight because I was looking for a fight. I was in a fight because I tried to defend someone and I end up there. So it was always happening like that. Mm.
Yeah. How'd you actually get into fighting? Just like you started out with some martial arts when you're young, but martial arts is one thing and sparring is one thing, but like becoming a fighter is a different
animal. Yeah, I started with martial art and I was doing good. And I think the instructor in the club they saw that I was doing good, so they wanted me to join the competition.
Was this judo or?
Judo first. Judo. Then I joined and I was doing really good. And one day I came to see my brother doing karate. And they were having a tournament. Someone was missing. They asked me if I want to replace. I replaced and I won the whole thing. and just from there, you know, it just kept going. And this guy is like, he's talented. So let him do this, let him do that. Then I started representing the school. Then I started representing our region. Then I started representing the country and so on. Yeah.
When is it that you went to... So when was it that you went to Hong Kong to fight? And when is it? Because you have four different world championships, right?
Five, yeah.
Five.
Yeah.
What were they in? And like, when did that happen?
I think I spent half of my life now in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. And after university, I went to, I decided that I wanted to focus on just martial art. I wanted to be a world champion. And that was my focus. Okay, let's step back.
Yeah.
My parents wanted me to be a doctor.
Uh-huh. There we go. There it is. Yeah.
So you know, in Africa, so with a big family like this, my mom or my parents, they're like trying to influence us. You should be a doctor. You should be I don't know. My brother should be a
lawyer,
an architect. This one a lawyer. This one a police officer. Whatever. And during my while I was studying, the deal was, if you keep doing good at school, I'm gonna support you with your martial art. You know, you can train. You can, you know, I'm gonna take care of that. So just make sure to study and have some good notes from school. Okay, that's it. That's the deal. And the one time I didn't have a good grade at school, my mom canceled everything. My membership, I wasn't allowed to go to the gym. I wasn't even allowed to do sport at school. She went to the school and she told them if he even joined the decision that you guys have here at school, I'm going to sue you. And I wasn't allowed to do anything. So yeah, so she completely banned me from any activity until I bring back my grade back to normal. God. She was serious.
Yeah.
So this is what happened. When I was at home, I had to wake up in the middle of the night when everyone is sleeping to start training. I have to go in the living room when everyone is sleeping, it's quiet, and I'm doing my push-ups, sit-ups, and I take the chair from the living room and I lift it. I'm doing some lifting with it, you know. And that's what I was doing. 45 minutes of that, and then, you know, I go back home, go back to bed, and I'm all sweaty. And I lay down and I sleep like that. And then my mom wake up in the morning, she said, but I don't get it. It's like smelling, this sweaty smell. Like every morning I wake up and smell, I said, what's going on here? She couldn't get it. One night she woke up in the middle of the night because I was making some noise. And then she's like, is someone there? And I'm doing that in the dark. Is someone there? And then hide. So we played that for like about a month.
Uh-huh.
That's what I was doing. But, you know, thinking about that today, I just think how crazy I was about it.
Yeah.
How crazy I was about martial art. I had to wake up in the middle of the night, go and train, and go back to sleep, sweaty. And I close my eyes and I'm like, okay, let me sleep now. I feel the pump. Let me sleep now. That's how crazy I was.
Yeah.
But that's how crazy my mom was too. Mm-hmm. You know, about, you know, the discipline. You know, you're not doing it until you have good grade. And I came back with good grade, then she let me go back to the gym. And so I was supposed to be a doctor. I didn't like it, but I had to fake like I like it just to please my parents.
Yeah.
And I had to have good grades. So I was doing good in science. I was doing good in biology and just to please my parents. But when I got to university and when I started working part-time to finance my own study, I realized that I'm a man on my own. So I can be independent. I can decide, you know, what I want to do. And then I switch. So I studied a bit of sport medicine and then I left uni. So I came up with my diploma of sport medicine. And I went fully into martial art. I went to be a world champion. I traveled the world, and that's what I wanted to do. And that's how I landed in Hong Kong. I had a sponsor that brought me to Hong Kong, and I got to Hong Kong. It was amazing. I had everything. The government took me, and they gave me everything that I needed.
How did you start getting into some of this mobility stuff that you do now?
I have to say that I've always been doing practicing flexibility and mobility exercise even when I was younger, but not to this degree. I didn't take it as serious as I took it you know, a few years ago. When I was younger, I was flexible. You know, there's always been a challenge for my brother and I to see who's more flexible, you know, and this also has helped us, you know, just to try and do the split, try and work on one thing or another and work on our flexibility. Jeez. And
yeah, it's interesting. It's part of the culture of martial arts is to be able to really move really well and flawlessly, right?
Yeah. But also, you know, my family, my mom is, she's flexible, not because she was born flexible. She exercised, right? She exercised. So, but challenging each other. I wanted to do the split better than my brother. So I always try to do more than him because I wanted to do better than him. So I think this little challenge got me to where I am today. trying to do better, trying to do better than him and do more and try and do more. And if you do the split, I want to do the split in like elevated in two chair because he didn't do that. So I can do that.
Like Van Damme.
And, yeah. And if you do that, then I'll try and do something else, you know. So there's always a challenge. But then when I got to, when I was a teenager and I got a bit bigger and have like much more muscle than the average teenager, mm-hmm. I got injured. I remember I wasn't doing I wasn't working on my flexibility as much as I wanted to. Mm-hmm. So then I started focusing on it. You know, I focused on flexibility because I got injured, and that has really helped me and changed the person that I am. So because of an injury, I started focusing more on my flexibility, and I never stopped.
Some of the movement you showed us today, it seems to be really, like I felt a lot of it in my back and in my, I guess some muscles like in the side, like the serratus, the obliques, things like that. And you were saying that it seemed to help your lower back.
It helped a lot. And I have to say that most of the thing that I do, I think that I try on myself. You know, I just try to feel better. I just try to relax and to explore, you know, the potential. The, you know, our body can do so much. You know, the possibility are limitless. You know, you just have to have the discipline to look for it, search. You know, and that's what I do every day. I spend sometimes I'm on in the corner over there and I'm looking and I'm trying to I'm talking, I'm feeling myself and I'm talking to myself and I'm exploring, you know, and I'm looking for movement that will make me feel comfortable or that will, you know, help me. And that's how I manage to do things that I do. And people will look at me and think, this guy's crazy, what is he doing, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll say that I'm just doing me, you know, And it works for me, you know. It works for me because today I see that I'm fitter, I'm stronger, I'm more flexible than I was 20 years ago, you know. And I'm in my 40s, right? And I'm amazed by that, and I'm very happy that I'm doing that now. And I'm happy that I'm enjoying such a good health, you know. And because that's for me, it's all about longevity, mm-hmm. you know. It's not about, you know, winning the world championship. For me, winning the world championship is having the health that I have right now. You know, waking up in the morning and feeling good. You know, I jump off the bed. You know, today in my hotel room, I woke up, I pulled the blanket, and I did a flip, you know. Yeah, I did like a somersault, you know. I came up,
yeah.
And I was like, damn, I'm feeling good. You know, I did that and I recorded. I took my phone, I put it there, and then I record myself doing a flip again, and I did the split, and I roll, and I came to the camera, and I said, good morning to you too. Yeah. And I was like, damn, I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
And I'm ready for Mike. Let's go, Mike. You know, I was like, okay, now I'm good. Let's go. Let's go and do this podcast and see these guys. You know, I'm ready. I'm good.
Uh-huh.
But that's the spirit. That's what I like. You know, I wake up in the morning, I take a deep breath, and I'm happy to be alive. And I'm happy to feeling good. So, and that encouraged me. For me, this is priceless, right? It's priceless. The fact that I'm doing, that fact that I'm feeling like this, it makes me, encourage me to do even more. So then, because I'm feeling like this, tomorrow I'll do more and more and more. And it just helped me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times things are, they're deceiving, you know? Sometimes you think that something's going to make you feel better. You know, what you're saying is you're always exploring to feel better. Some people are like, I'm going to go outside and take a break and smoke the cigarette. And they have the same intention as you. They're like, they're trying to feel better. Mm-hmm. But when you are reliant on something, doing some of the work for you or taking you to a certain place, it's way different than like physically working on yourself. And I've found myself more recently, especially when I was traveling more recently, just moving around a ton, like getting up out of my chair, like when I'm on the airplane, stretching, moving around, doing some squats, even getting on the ground, do some push-ups. And yeah, people think it's weird or think it's whatever, but it makes you feel like a million bucks. Like you really do feel a lot better. If you just drop down and hit some push-ups or mm-hmm. drop down and hit some squats after you've been sitting for a while, you'll feel incredible.
Yeah. You know, I was eating earlier, at the lobby in the restaurant, and the chef came out, and he kept walking past me. Then finally he came and he said, "Look, I want to bother you. Can I ask you, how do I get to be like you?" But I always get that.
Yeah.
So when he asked me that, I just thought, here we go again. And I looked at him and he said, "I don't want to bother you, but I just want to ask that one question," right? He looked over, you know, like he's obviously overweight and everything. And I say, "What do you do to help yourself? Like, you just tell me, what do you do for me to help you? How do you help yourself? How have you been helping yourself?" He said, "No, I was always thinking about it," but I say, "There you go. If I tell you go to the gym, you won't. So I'll just say the simplest thing. Start slowly. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're eating, cut in half, right? Whatever you're doing. And start counting your calorie or start counting your step, for instance.
Yeah.
Count your step. You know, like walk a bit more, stop taking the lift, you know, take the stairs instead of taking the lift. Mm-hmm. Do these little things and it make a difference, right? But if you're consistent, you say, how many push-ups do you think I should do? I say, how many push-ups do you want to do? You say, but I'm sure you're going to ask me to do 100 push-ups. I say, no, I'm not going to ask you to do 100 push-ups. Do 10 push-ups. Do 10. Do 10 push-ups, but do them every day.
Yeah.
Just be consistent. Do them every day. And you're going to see at one stage, I'm not going to ask you to do anything. You're going to try and put the push-up. You're going to add 5 to it or 20 to it because you can, because you're feeling better, right? Because you're feeling better, you're going to add to it. I don't have to tell you anything. Mm-hmm. So start with 10. It seems like nothing, right? 10 is very easy, right? You say, yes. Okay, start with 10. Just do this little thing, but do them every day. Be consistent. So I think it's all about, you know, being consistent. Mm-hmm. And people are always rushing. People want it now. They want it quick. I know because I always get this message. Oh, I don't know, how do you do to get your lats? Or how do you do to... And if I say, oh, I did this... Oh, but yeah, but I've been doing it for 6 months. How come I don't have it also? You know, everyone is in a hurry. Everyone is like in a rush, you know. Do you think, how long is it going to take me to do the split? Can I do the split in 2 months? You see what I mean? Uh-huh. Everyone is in a hurry. Oh, you want to do the split in 2 months? Oh, okay. What else? Can I get the lats in like a month? Mm-hmm. Can I get this? Can I get that? You know, it's very easy. But if they start with the same plus thing, okay, very simple, just start with the easiest thing and just be consistent, and that's what I'm doing. And because I'm consistent, I manage to do what I'm doing, and people will look and say, oh, it's fake, oh, he's probably taking steroids, oh, he's doing it because he's double jointed. They always got something to say. Yeah. Right, lately he's doing it because he's double jointed. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are, because how can you do it otherwise? You know, it's not possible. It's not possible, because, and people who are saying that, it's always people who are sitting there in the couch and they never try anything. And for them, they need to justify by, you know, looking for something very simple and throw at you, and that's it. You know?
Yeah. Do you feel better now than you did 10 years ago?
Yeah.
And that's the interesting thing, is you're 46 years old, right? Mm-hmm. You're in a sport of fighting where it's one of, actually, I think it's the most physically demanding sport, because people are hitting you, you're getting all these hits, and most people get out of that because of all of the stress to the body. They don't feel good over time. But as you continue to age, you're continuing to get stronger, you're maintaining your flexibility, you're aging well. So what would you attribute that to?
I'm aging well, 46, 47, 48. I think even when I reach my 50, I think I'll just be just as good and I think even better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the way I'm going right now, I feel better than I felt 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I think just the lifestyle that I chose is working for me.
Yeah.
I think the lifestyle that I chose is working for me. I'm doing the simplest thing, like sleeping well, waking up in the morning and having my routine, making sure to these little things, I think adding together make it a whole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this little thing, and I say it again, everyone will say, oh, this is a cliche, you know, sleeping well, waking up in the morning, drinking water, meditation, it seems like a movie, you know, like, you know, oh yeah, so you're gonna tell us that you're doing your meditation now, or you're gonna tell us that you you're gonna tell us that you but honestly, Meditation, when I say meditation, it doesn't mean that I have to sit there for hours, you know? No. I wake up, I take a deep breath, I close my eyes, and I'm just breathing, you know? And I'm just clearing my clear my head, and I just want a good thought. You know, I always have positive thought. You know, like when I woke up this morning, I wake up, and then I'm just breathing. I'm starting thinking, and then I call positive thought. You know, I'm going to see Mark today. We're gonna have a good day. This is gonna be fun. You know what? Push the blanket, do a flip, a somersault, get up, do the split. I'm feeling good. And then say it. And then I say it, I'm feeling good.
You believe it.
Yeah, believe it. Say it loud, right? Because sometimes you say it loud. You remind yourself, you know. And I say it. And then I put some music. And I like that, you know. Then this is all positive. You know, you got to call that energy. You know, put some music, you know, dance, you know, be happy, you know. Mm-hmm. Be happy because, you know, when I wake up, I feel like... I'm grateful just to be alive. Yeah? I'm one of the lucky people just waking up. So I'm grateful. And I think that spirit of gratitude and positivity give me what I want. Yeah.
And you're still fighting.
And I'm still fighting. And everybody say, don't you think that at your age you should stop? Don't you feel like you should retire? Uh-huh. Now, let me tell you something. Retire is a word that I don't want to use. I feel like if I say that I'm retired, I feel like you guys are putting me in a home, like, you know, for all people, like he's retired, you know, that's how I feel. So I don't want to use that word.
And
I don't even want to,
same.
Yeah, I don't even want to say that word. I avoid saying it. Mm-hmm. So instead of saying that I'm retired, I'll say that I'm evolving. I'm doing even more. I'm training just the same. So if I were to fight tomorrow, I could fight tomorrow, after tomorrow, anytime. Right now, I run every week. I'm doing my training every week. I'm doing kickboxing. I'm doing weight training. I'm doing HIIT training. I'm doing it all. And I'm doing my flexibility, my mobility every day. I make time for it. I always make time. And people say, we don't have time. You know, you're taking all your day doing this, you know, but we don't have time. No, I always make time. It's called self-care. For me, it's called self-care. Self-care for me is making time for me, and I always make time for myself. You know, while I'm brushing my teeth, I'm doing my mobility. And today, I made sure to record it. I was brushing and I was doing my mobility work while I'm brushing my teeth. So I'm always making time. So... you can always, and I realize, you know, people say they don't have time. You have time. It's up to you now. You just decide, you know, you prioritize, you know. So, you know, I make time for myself, and it's called self-care. I take care of myself. I make sure that I sleep, you know, I have this much sleep. I make sure that, I do my training in the morning. It makes me feel good, and I feel happy, you know. So I take care of myself. So it's important to take care of yourself. And because of that, I'm feeling healthy. I'm feeling happy. And I'm not about to stop. So I'm never going to say that I'm retiring. I'm still there. Maybe I'm not going to compete as much as I used to compete. Maybe because I don't need to, mm-hmm. you know, I evolve. So I'm doing things that I don't need to compete. Like when I was 20 years old to earn money, I earned my money already doing other things. And I have enough to not fight. Okay. So, but I'm still doing it because I'm feeling good. I'm mm-hmm. still doing because I like it. I'm still doing because I'm enjoying myself and I just want to have fun.
Have you ever been depressed?
No.
I didn't think so.
I don't think so.
I think with all the self-care, you know, when you make yourself, when you, it kind of makes you into somebody, you know, and then you were talking earlier about like believing in yourself and positive affirmations, like saying, I feel good this morning.
Say it.
Right. Yeah. I think all those things are really important.
People look at me like, you never have a problem. We all have issues. We all have our problem. We all are broken, you know, from one reason or another. It could be relationship. It could be work. It could be anything, right? It could be family. It could be so many things. But again, I say the way I face all of this, my approach to it is just what has helped me. You know, my approach to it. I try to approach things with always gratitude and positive attitude, and I always say that it could always be worse than it is. So if I want to complain about something, I remember that before I try to complain about it, I need to remember that it could be even worse. Mm. So I need to accept that whatever. So say I take an example. I lose my phone, right? Someone can lose their phone and think, shit, I lost my phone, my God. I lost my phone. It's so expensive. I just bought it. I lost it. You know, you can go into all these emotion because you lost your phone. And I'm just taking an example. This is the phone I'm talking about. You could be, your house could be on fire, right? You could lose your house, your car, you lose your car, you know, it's on fire, or they stole your car, or whatever. Whatever happened, it could always be worse. So I always say, it's okay. It's just a phone. It could be worse. It could have been worse, right? It's just a phone. It's
yeah, okay. How big a deal are you going to make?
Yeah, what's the big deal?
You're not going to exercise tomorrow because you lost your phone?
I miss a flight. It's okay. I take the next one.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. No big deal.
It's gone.
It's okay.
I can't hop on the plane now.
I take a flight. It's okay. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is how I face things. I always think, you know, I'm not going to make a big deal. I'm not going to stress myself. I'm not going to have ulcer because of this. I'm not going to have high blood pressure because of this. I do not want to have high blood pressure because of this, so I will not stress myself. I'm late. I miss a meeting. I had an appointment with Mike. I couldn't make it because of this. I still won't stress myself. Mike, I'm very sorry. I couldn't make it. What can we do?
Mm.
That's how I see it. What can we do? Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
What can we do?
Did you have the same approach when you would, for wins and losses early in your career?
Yes.
Wow.
Same approach. You know, I lose a fight, I get up, I'm like, okay. That's okay. Give me a hug. That's okay. Congratulations. I'm going back and I'm trying to do better. That's it. I never threw a tantrum, never, you know, swear and be angry and have like all these things. I don't need to. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was invited to be with Mike Tyson a few years back. We were training in Thailand together. His team contacted me and they brought me over to Thailand and we were together. And I had the chance to speak to him. And we talk a bit about how things went with him in his life and how he was always into, you know, fighting and angry, and he has like a lot of anger, and he was like beating people up because they were always pushing him to the edge, and he couldn't help it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to tell him that, you know, the same thing the same happened to me. Of course, you know, different level, right? His level was like, over there, and for me at my tiny little level over here, how do I cope with it? And I'm trying just to compare how to cope with it, because we're all coping with things. You know, it could be at this level it's there, but mm-hmm. you know, at your level you also have to cope with the same thing, even though it's not the same level, right? And my approach is just different. You know, I just refuse to engage to negative things. I just refuse for it to affect me the way it could affect a person, where you're going to react like that and hit someone and then end up at a police station or end up in jail or end up in here, there, and so on, and create like so much thing. I think I'm just above that. I just choose to think before I act.
Mm-hmm.
I choose to do that. I choose to think before I act.
So anger doesn't fuel you?
No. I choose to think before I act.
Pat Roger family, how's it going? We talk about sleep all the time on this podcast. That's why we're partnered with 8 Sleep Mattresses. Now, this mattress is the Tesla of sleep. It's the Tesla of beds. Its technology tracks your heart rate variability. It changes its own temperature based off the way you sleep so that you get better sleep every single night. It is quite literally insane. Check them out. Andrew, how do they get it?
Yes, and before I do that, I wanted to let you guys know that you can actually set the bed to wake you up silently. I know that sounds weird, but actually the bed starts vibrating around your head and it doesn't wake up the entire house household the way my phone used to do back in the day. So now I just kind of have the bed wake me up silently, and it's amazing. You guys got to head over to 8sleep.com/power project. That's EIGHT, sleep.com/power project. When you guys go there, you'll see a banner across the top saying that you're going to receive $150 off automatically. So again, that's 8sleep.com/power project to receive $150 off your Pod Pro cover or your Pod Pro cover and mattress combo. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes. Let's get back to the podcast. How about something super extremely positive? What's your reaction to a win, something really good happening to you?
No, I'm very happy, but also it's always under control. Yeah. I'm very happy, and I show my happiness. Look, even when I lose a fight, I'm still happy that I came there and that I joined the event. I'm still happy. So I'm always happy anyway. Mm-hmm. So at work, when I'm at work, I always tell my staff, I always tell them, you see me. When I enter this place, I'm always happy. It's always, hey, man, hey, Mark, hey, Andrew, hey, guys, what's up? You know, what's good? But you guys don't know that before the lift opened and I came in here, I had like, a huge fight with my girlfriend or whatever. I'm stressed because I have this issue, that issue, this issue. But as soon as the lift opened, I put everything aside and my attitude is just different. Hi, Mike. How are you, man? Good to see you. Andrew, man, let's do this. You know, what's up, guys? Okay. Let's do this. You see, so I don't bring that negativity with me and share it with people. I don't do that. I decided to stop it. When I take the lift, I remind myself and I say, okay, throw it, put it away, and then, you know, walk in there and be good. You know, it's going to be okay. You know, it's one of these things. It could always be worse, but it's not. So go out there and have a good training and you're going to feel better after.
Could be worse and it could be better, right? So if you want to fight and you got hit a lot, you could say, shit, like I was lucky to win that one, but maybe I should go back and watch the tape.
Exactly. So it's always a matter of how you see it. How do you see it?
Do you think that because, I mean, you're obviously probably, are you more well off now than when you were growing up?
Yes.
Now, I wonder sometimes, because like when Mark asked if you've ever been depressed, you said you've never been depressed. Because in America, in the United States, like we take 90% of pharmaceuticals here, right? Mm-hmm. Depression's rampant amongst young kids here, even though some people here have a lot. But is any of that lack of depression because you've seen the differences and disparity in the way people live and you're grateful? Do you think it's because you understand that, or is it just how you are?
I mean, that's a good point. I have to think about that, right? Because I never thought about it. But I realized that.
That's interesting in and of itself that you never thought about it, because that might mean that when you were young, you don't feel like you were missing anything.
No. I never thought that I was missing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were eating maybe one meal, because at one point we were eating, we had everything.
Yeah.
Then my parents went through... they lost everything, right? And when they lost everything, we have to cut down on our way of life. We have to cut down our living standard. We have to move. We have to do things differently, right? So if you had a driver or helper, we have to cut that down. When we cut, we adjusted. We, the kids, adjusted just fine. Mm-hmm. I think my parents had a way of making sure that we adjust, and we did. And we were fine with it. So from living in a big mansion to living in a small houses where we have to share the same room with my brother, we were fine. When I had to share the same room with my brother, I was like happy to be with him.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm happy to be with you. So I wasn't like, oh my God, I'm going to be with him. Uh-huh. How can I be with him? No, I was like, I'm so happy to be with him. Actually, I prefer that I'm with you. So it was just different.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had to watch just on one screen, one TV, we were happy to be together and watching one TV. But before, we had like each room, each one TV, and And when we had to cut that, bring that down, we were just happy to be together. So you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's different. The approach is different.
Mm-hmm.
We're just happy to be together. So, yeah.
What was it like winning your first championship, your first belt?
Damn, I was happy. I think I was...
I must have felt amazing. All the years of training.
Amazing. And not all your years of training, but also there's something that I saw, that's something that I visualized, there's something that I wanted. This was my goal.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to prove, and I needed to prove to my mom that I can do it, because she was like, I want you to be a doctor. You chose to go and do this shit. You are so stupid. How could you do that? You know, who makes money doing this stupid fighting thing? Yeah. I shouldn't have let you do that. You see what I mean? So I had to prove. I'm like, shit, I need to prove to her that, you see, I need to prove that, you know, you can be successful doing something that you like to do, doing martial art, you can be successful, you know? And I'm grateful that I managed to prove that to her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did.
Did she ever watch any of your fights that were televised? Like, I know she didn't watch.
She never watched directly, but indirectly, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, later, after.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, I've watched you fight many times, like over the years even, but it's interesting talking to you now and seeing like you're super philosophical. You seem to be very like kind-hearted, and to see you like knock that guy down and then get on top of him and punch him is just, it's different than your demeanor.
You know what? It's amazing how we switch character.
Yeah,
it's amazing how we switch character when you're in there. Yeah, and it goes so quick, and I just go and just switch and just bam, 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 and then that's it. It's over, and then you come back to your sense and you remember that you got that is a human being, and you go and tell him something nice and come back to your normal self. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you feel relaxed when you fight, like in the ring?
Not as relaxed as I would want to be. Not as as relaxed as I would want to be. I wish I could be more relaxed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit, that guy looks pretty big.
He's just running it. Like, what? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I remember punching him the last punch. I didn't need to do that. And, it was too quick. It was too fast. I was thinking, is he done? Is he finished? Is he finished already?
That was a good one too, right underneath his arm.
Yeah.
And where does the salute come from?
Yeah.
Right after you win.
Yeah, no. I always thought the salute is just a form of respect, you know, just giving my respect to the crowd, to the people who are supporting me, to my friend in the armed force, and so on. I just thought, you know,
Have you ever been contacted by the UFC?
Yes, previous, yeah.
Is that something
many time before
thought about or wanted to do? Or
no.
Now you're happy. People
always say, dude, you could have done so much better in the UFC. You could have focused more on fighting instead of doing everything else that you're doing, train, you know, and go to the UFC, and then you'll be like so much more and so on. And I always say, so much more is what exactly? So much more, right? I'm happy and I've got enough.
It's all people know here in the United States.
Oh, you can be so much more. You'll be like so big and so much more money. And I'm like, what more? What's much more? And what is, you know, when is it enough? You know, anyway, I'm happy with the little that I have, and the little success that I have makes me happy, and that's all. And that's what I want.
Being a heavyweight, you must have fought some really huge people, right?
Yeah.
And you're 5'10", 5'11". I mean, you must have fought like Frank Sapp and some of those people.
Bob Sapp. Bob Sapp was 180 kilo when I fought him.
Oh, have you ever seen Bob Sapp before?
Dude, Bob Sapp looks like he's straight out of
the biggest guy.
You fought him before?
Yeah, I fought him. Yeah.
Really?
And I just thought, I think it was the scariest thing for me. the scariest thing, because it's not that he was skilled, but it's just that he has so much power because of his size. You know, if he catches you once, you're done, right?
God.
Yeah. So
Jesus Christ.
Bob Sapp looks like he comes straight out of Punch Out.
I mean, look at the size of us.
That is inhuman.
Yeah, 75 kilo on
top. Oh, my
God. You're just dodging. Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah, Bob Sapp is a machine. Former football player that he played at the University of Washington.
You know, for that fight, all I did is just, I did a lot of running.
Mm. I bet, right?
All I was doing was running. Just running, running, hit and run, hit and run. That was the deal.
He's pretty skilled, though, too, right? I mean, he's got a little bit.
I mean,
he just gets sloppy with his arms, maybe a little bit here and there.
He gets sloppy. He has a way of doing this hammer punch, hammer punch, Jesus. And then he swing that thing. And he hit you with his forearm.
He's made a lot of money in Japan, though, huh?
Yeah, he did. He was really famous then. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did it?
Everybody wanted to watch Bob Sapp.
Yeah. Did it bother you at all? Because Bob Sapp is he's enhanced. He's been on. I mean, I think everybody knows he was on a lot of stuff. Yeah. Did that ever like stop you from wanting to fight him?
No, actually, most of my older opponent, some of them who has been into something, or someone come and tell me that opponent is probably taking this or that, I couldn't care much. Yeah,
I find it's interesting because you are a fighter that probably gets some of the most steroid accusations because you're built like a bodybuilder.
Always.
But
it used to bother me. It used to bother me, and I used to fight this accusation. I used to always say, why will you say that to me? I used to take all my time to defend myself. Mm-hmm. Why will you say that to me? You never even meet me. I never did something. I never did because, you know, I never needed to. Yeah. You know, I never needed to, so you should see my family. Oh, it's impossible for you to be this big, you know, naturally.
Like
it's
that.
Impossible. Yeah. Impossible to be this big naturally. First, it's impossible to be this big naturally. I'm like, but look at my brothers. they're all the same. We're all the same, right? So all of them are just the same. And one of my brother, he's not even into martial art, right? He's not into martial art. Uh-huh. He went to university in England. And after university, he got cancer. And he's been struggling with cancer for all this year. But look at him, right? He come out of the hospital after his treatment. And he's doing maybe 2 months off treatment. And I say, send me a picture. And he sent me a picture and he looked like he just came out of the gym. Right? He has like...
He got shredded.
His body shredded. And I'm like, what have you been doing? He said, no, I just was at the beach and I did a little bit of push-up. And I think I'm starting to feel a bit better. But if you look at him, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, he looked like an athlete. Someone who just came out of the gym. He's been spending like the last 3-4 years in the gym. And we're talking about someone who has cancer and who's been in the hospital under treatment and so on. Mm-hmm. You see, so I just thought we are, you know, this is just an heritage that we are very lucky to have. But of course, you know, also hard work and dedication. I train every day. I'm very disciplined. So people should not... take that away from me. You know, I'm always the hardest worker in the room.
You fought a
and
lot
people
of,
who know me, people who knows me or who are close to me, they know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you fought a lot of different disciplines. Is it sometimes hard to remember, like, what the heck you're doing? Like kickboxing versus MMA, or like you just all of a sudden like want to go and take someone down or something?
Actually, no, I never felt like that.
I'm just thinking, like, man, it must be confusing in there sometimes.
When you're in trouble, yeah. When you're in trouble.
you just throw everything at them.
Grab for anything, right?
When you're in trouble, yeah, perhaps.
With Bob Sapp, was that kickboxing or was that just MMA? Or?
With Bob Sapp, it was kickboxing.
Kickboxing.
Yeah, shit. It was kickboxing.
Have you ever fought Andrew Tate? He's a kickboxer, right?
He was. I think he was. Different weight class, probably.
No, I didn't.
No.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about some of the injuries, but the one we talked about beforehand is pretty gnarly. So I just got a vasectomy last week, and I've been doing some heroic shit by not missing a podcast. So I'm feeling pretty damn awesome. Mm. Talking to him about it, he had a vasectomy and then he went and fought 2 months later. But what happened during that fight?
I got knee on the groin.
Ah! Yeah. God.
Yes.
Makes me feel like a pussy over here.
I was down on the ground. And I think it was like 2 months or two and a half months, you know, after the operation. And I got hit on the groin and I was on the ground. And I tell you, I never felt that much pain.
Oh.
And again, my opponent was like 20 kilo heavier than me. He was huge. He gave me this power knee and he took me. I was sweating. I cried my tears right there.
Okay. Other than that, have you experienced anything close to that in the ring?
Close to that, no.
No. Fuck.
Yeah. Close to that, no. Yeah.
Is there anybody out there that you'd really want to fight still? You've been fighting for a long time. You probably fought most of the people that you want to fight.
I fought most of the people that I wanted to fight. And today, I just like a good challenge. I always like a good challenge. I think life is about challenging ourselves. You know, we get out there. It doesn't matter if I win or lose. I just want to challenge myself and I just want to please myself. You know, I know when I did something good. When I finish a fight, or a competition, I know if I done good, you know, and I'm happy about my performance, you know, and I know what I did, and I want to do better, and I look at it that way. So whether I win or I lose, I know what I did. So if I win, you know, I could still win, but maybe I didn't perform as best as I wanted to. So this little challenge for me is that's what keep me going.
How about lifting? How do you how are you programming your lifting with your training? Because you're still huge, and you said you've been like the same weight since you were 19. So how does that work for you?
Yeah, it's funny because I'm doing a lot of cardio. I think I do more cardio than I lift. Right? So I lift maybe once, twice a week, and the rest of the time is cardio, and I still manage to keep I don't understand, but yeah.
How about body weight stuff? Do you count body weight as lifting, or do you do body weight stuff every day?
I do body weight every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even count it as lifting.
Okay.
Yeah. I lift maybe once or twice, but I do body weight like this every day.
Yeah. A lot of the stuff I've seen you do almost looks like you're doing like jiu-jitsu against the ground a lot of times. You know, it's like you versus the ground.
I think working on your core, your stability, your balance, really I think it's very challenging. I think these are things that for me, it's more challenging than anything else, than just lifting tons of weight or whatever. And I think I always want to make sure that I'm really strong. But when I say strong, I don't mean just lifting 200 kilos strong, but being able to control yourself, being able to do one hands, you know, handstands, or to do things that bring your core into action even more than anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's very easy to be able to lift, you know, like 100 kilo, 150, 200 kilo. I think anybody can do that. Mm-hmm. You know, anyone like this laborer can do that.
Yeah.
You take a laborer there, he come there with his big arm, he take the weight, he lift it. But being able to do this core exercise, very challenging.
Yeah. Yeah, and being able to do some of the stuff that you do, like this unconventional stuff where you're balancing shoes on your own shoes.
And like rolling.
But you were also mentioning
This, for instance, is like a very good hips mobility exercise and back. You feel it on your hips and your back.
That's a try.
And you really challenge your core.
You're really thinking about it here. Yeah. You're like, what am I going to do? How do I roll?
Yeah, how much glue did you put on the bottom of your shoe? Oh, my gosh.
Look at his left leg, though. Look like how he has to maneuver that leg to bring. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's wild.
And do you have cramp doing this?
I know. I'm getting a cramp just watching.
I'm trying that after the podcast.
You were saying sometimes you'll pair a lift with another exercise to get the cardio in. So is that part of your lifting or is that part of your cardio? Like when you said you were
riding
a bike and doing deadlifts in between.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
so you put that more in the cardio.
I always to be unconventional, right? So I'd always do things, you know, like outside of the book. So it's not there. So I'm trying things like I'll do weight training and I'll go and do kickboxing. You know, I just finish now and then I step in the ring there and start hitting the pads, right? With my trainer. Mm-hmm. And I like to do that because I never want to be stiff. I never want to be, uncomfortable and being like very stiff. Mm-hmm. I never want to be like that. I always want to be loose. I want to be long. I want to have long limbs. I never want to walk around being stiff. You know, I think it's not pretty. I like to be pretty. No, I think it's very healthy that way.
Right.
And it works for me. It works for me. I'm not worried about losing my muscle. And I think because I'm not worrying about it, I never lost it. I'm not worrying. I think right. The fact that I'm not worrying put me in a good place. So
yeah.
I just enjoy my training, and I do my mobility, I do my weight training, I go and do my kickboxing, I do my running. So I'm always there, and I feel great.
You know, we were talking a little bit about your diet and the way you eat in the gym, and you know that we like eating meat, mm-hmm. right? But you mentioned how your diet you do different things with the way you eat. Can you tell us about some of that?
Yeah, I change occasionally, or most of the time. I could go vegan for a period of time. So like now I'm not eating meat.
And you feel better? Like you said, you feel lighter that way?
And I feel good. I feel good. I sleep well. I feel strong. Nothing has changed. Mm-hmm. I'm fast. I run. I lift. I feel good.
And how long?
I'm sharp.
How long is a period that you would go vegan for?
A year.
Shit.
But you said vegan with chicken and with salmon, I think you said.
Then I'll change.
That's true.
And if I change. If I travel and go see my mom, for instance, I'll change, right? I'll stop and then I'll go back to eating meat because it's traditional, right?
Uh-huh.
That's what we do. If I'm going to meet some friend, or if I'm coming to meet somebody, I don't want to be outsider.
We understand,
So if I'm coming here and say we're eating, I say, okay, give me some chicken, then I'm going to blend with you and so on. But I know that this is a one-time thing, and then I'll go back to whatever. I'm not that strict into it, but I'll do it whenever I'm pleased, whenever I feel like. I go from vegan to be a vegetarian, or I change to a pescatarian, and I just have fish for a while. And I think changing like this, I feel really good about it. You know, I like it. I don't like to be stuck into one thing. I like to explore. I like to change. And sometimes I'll go, I'd say, for instance, for the next 3 months, I'll do intermittent fasting, and I'll do maybe eating 3 days without eating, drinking water for 2 days, and no water, so dry fast.
Dry fast.
Yeah, and I do that for a period of time. And when I'm doing that, I'm still training. I don't stop my training.
Mm-hmm.
I do the same training. I wake up in the morning, go and do the same training, and so on.
Why do you switch things up? Are you doing it to kind of see how you handle it? Are you doing it to experiment?
Both.
Yeah.
How I handle it, but also to experiment, also just challenging myself. And I think it's good for my mind, it's good for my brain, it's good for my body to stop doing, like if I'm eating meat every time and I'm eating all the time, I want to stop and cleanse and just not eat meat for a while. I want my body to, you know, to change a bit, and I feel good, you know, and... since I've been doing that, I noticed that, you know, it works for me. I really feel good, and so I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you experiment with different kinds of running? Do you go out and sprint and do some other things like
that? I
do
a lot of sprint.
Jumping and things like that?
Long distance, so I do sprint, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really mix it up.
Yeah, I mix it up. So it's the same thing. The same approach that I have with my diet is the same approach that I have with my training. I also mix things. I do running, sometimes long distance, sometimes short and just sprint. And I do a lot of different things. Jumping high. I'm doing a lot of...
make it fun, make it interesting,
Make
right?
it interesting, yeah.
When you do any, like let's say running, or when you're sparring, do you pay attention to what you're doing with your breathing? Like I notice sometimes when people are doing jiu-jitsu and stuff, they breathe through their mouth. Do you care whether you're breathing through your nose, whether you're breathing through your mouth? Do you notice any difference?
I care, and I try to remind myself. Sometimes I forget, and often I remind myself and I get back on track. Yeah.
So like for you, is it like mainly through the, do you try to, when you say remind yourself, are you trying to breathe through
like
the nose?
Like when I'm running, I'm trying to breathe through my nose.
Okay.
I'm trying to to control my breath. I don't want to be like you're taking too much. Mm-hmm. You're taking too much, and that's what you should avoid, right? Because when you're fighting, when we're in fighting, you don't open your mouth and no, you have to. It's like swimming, and I'm not a good swimmer.
Don't make those jokes, guys. Yeah. You better chill.
I'm not a good swimmer. But it's like that. You have to breathe. I was doing some swimming training just a few weeks ago, yeah. And then the instructor was telling me, you have to save it and just like use it little by little, right? So you don't want to be like, you don't want to be like that. You mm-hmm. want to be like very discreet. Like you want to, So I think
so good.
That was so good.
You.
Man, I knew you were athletic, but that's unbelievable. That almost looks fake.
Almost.
You see, hater will say it's fake.
I remember seeing it. That was such a good video.
I watched that at least a million times.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
And I'm not a good swimmer. But as I was saying, breathing is important. So you have to... So when I'm running, I try to do to breathe through my nose and try to not inhale too much, not exhale too much. Like slowly. Control it. Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit like intermittent fasting. Like just because you're hungry doesn't mean you have to eat.
Yeah.
Just because you feel like you need to breathe a little harder doesn't mean that you necessarily have to do that. You can work your way through it, and you find yourself, you know, you'll go up a hill and your breathing might feel like it needs to be more erratic, but once you start to override it with your mind, and once your conditioning gets a little bit better, it gets a little easier to deal with.
Yeah. And I'm doing some cold and hot.
Oh, yeah, nice.
So we're doing some training where when I'm going to the ice, I have to stop breathing, and then I start breathing very slowly, mm-hmm. right? Because at first what I was doing was I jump in there and I'm like,
yeah.
You see what I mean? Because suddenly your body is in total stress, right? And then you feel like to reject it, you want to like, and that's something that you shouldn't. So mm-hmm. you have to jump in there and stop breathing. I jump in there and I stop and I start doing it slowly and controlling it. And it's something I just work on. So you can read a lot about it and check on the internet, and it's been very helpful.
How long have you been doing like cold therapy? We have cold plunges that we use. We use them like every day pretty much. But how long have you been doing it, and what have you noticed has been a benefit?
I've been doing it for quite some time now, mm-hmm. and I think it's awesome. I think it's one of the best things that I discovered also, and helping with reducing the body inflammation.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome. And as also for recuperation, I think, especially for someone like me that trains, you know, like every day, mm-hmm. I think just perfect thing. Yeah. I think these are the things that help for mm-hmm. your sleep and mm-hmm. and so I sleep well.
Yeah.
This is just complement the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes it feel like you hit the reset button on your training.
Yeah.
You know? It makes it feel like almost like you didn't train at all mm-hmm. to a certain extent, especially right when you get out of a cold plunge.
I imagine I have to train. I train twice a day or three times a day. It's something that you need, right?
So
it's awesome.
You have a gym in Hong Kong still? How's that work? Is it a kickboxing gym? Is it an MMA gym or?
Both.
Both?
Mm.
Cool.
Mm.
Nice.
You have a fight coming up?
I had. He's been canceled like two or three times already. Mm. And I'm just keeping in shape and I let them do their thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, when it's ready, they let me know.
Are you doing more MMA or more kickboxing?
I just want to do MMA. Why? Because I've been struggling with MMA. Mm-hmm. And because I've been struggling with MMA, I do not want to stop. That's what I want to do. Because it's challenging me. And that's the challenge.
So you got to work more on your jiu-jitsu and ground game.
I have to work more on my jiu-jitsu and be
maybe
able to go
maybe while you're here, maybe you can go
up
with Insima. Yeah.
So being able
go to
go
your school.
Up and down and up and
why
down.
Not? That would
so,
be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. He showed you how to kick? You show him how?
Yeah.
How long have you been doing grappling? Because you did judo.
Yeah.
So, but how long have you been doing like jujitsu and that stuff?
I'm a purple belt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm, so it was in Tsushima, right? Or no, you're a brown belt. Yeah. My bad.
So when it comes to MMA, in as far as your jujitsu is concerned, do you think that's the biggest piece that you need to work on and everything else is handled? Or
yeah.
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 Do you like jujitsu? Because some people...
No, at first I didn't.
Yeah?
At first I didn't. I had to force myself. And I think like most of the striker, you're used to what you're doing and you're stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
So I was stubborn and finally I had to admit that was my weakness and I needed to go back and work. It's totally different to judo, right? So I thought because I done judo when I was a kid, I thought, it's okay, I already know judo, so it should be okay. But it's not judo.
Mm-hmm.
It's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like coaching people?
Yeah, I love it.
You have opportunity to coach some people? You get opportunity to coach some kids and stuff like that too?
Yeah, I love it. I think it's one of the best rewards that I have into this business. So I'm passionate about it. Yeah. Giving back and teaching and showing. I love that.
Looks like Nsima was doing pretty good, but he's getting tired, right? Shit. Holding up those heavy legs.
Man, my hips, man. My hips and glutes.
He didn't want to hold the pads for me. I just wanted to do one more.
You take my face off. Oh, my God. I was like...
That was fun, man. Yeah, that was fun.
That was great. I'm sorry. if it's old news, but something was happening with Vitor Belfort. Like, what happened there?
Oh, the fight with Vitor Belfort.
Yeah.
I think Vitor Belfort don't want to talk about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now he probably blocked me on the...
So you guys were supposed to fight? Or?
Yeah, we were supposed to fight and it didn't happen. And now he doesn't want to do it anymore. And he doesn't want to talk to me anymore.
Damn.
What do you think is one of the greatest fights in your career? Or what do the fans kind of think?
I've got that question a lot. And every time I say that, I wouldn't say the greatest fight because many fights were really great for me. And I think each fight was different. And some of the fights that I had, I had a great time, you know. And not just the fight itself, even the training before the fight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole thing before the fight it also make the fight, you know. So I think there wasn't just one moment. I had a few good moments in there.
Was there a couple fights where you got knocked down and had to come back? And do you have anything like that that happened?
Yeah.
You just really got the shit knocked out of you and had to come back?
But you get beaten up. You feel like you're done here, but you keep pushing and you're proud of yourself. You know, at the end, you're proud of yourself. And I think these are amazing moments. Whether I win even or whether I even lose, you know, I feel good because I finished the fight or because I knew I was in trouble to start with and I didn't think that I even could survive until then and I managed to get to the end. And yeah, you know, even more than a victory, this is more worth it.
Did you ever have an opportunity to fight your brother again?
No, mm-hmm. Not anymore.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Does he still fight?
No, he has stopped now. He just had a car accident, and he's going through rehab to recovering. He was very lucky; he made it alive. And I'm just supporting him through his recovery process, and hopefully by next year he'll be back to training with me. I'm hoping.
Yeah. With the mobility stuff, you said that the main focus now is on the hips. Mm-hmm. And what are you finding with the hips in particular? Because you were mentioning to me like as kind of our powerhouse for just about everything, huh?
Yeah, I just feel like most of the power that we generate throughout our body comes from the hips. And it's often underutilized or underappreciated. So I think... what we have to do is
we're watching a video of him doing splits on
reading,
the chair.
I'm just reading some book, you know.
That's great.
Do you? I mean, does that hurt at all? Or do you feel that a lot, or like when you're doing a split like that, or not?
I think you can always feel. Just to what degree can you
relax?
Can you relax and take it? Yeah. You can always feel. Yeah.
Shit. So your Instagram, like we've seen a couple of like videos that are extremely entertaining. Is this all you, or do you have help with your Instagram?
It's me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just come up with everything on the spot?
I like to have fun also. And I like to be creative. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to be creative, not just in training, but in everything. And sometimes I find it funny and I want to be. And my Instagram is just, it's just me having fun. You know, my training is me. And when I put something funny or when I'm dancing, you know, I like to dance. Mm-hmm. So I'm showing me. You know, I just having, just doing me.
You, oh, you do salsa. And like,
yeah, salsa. I like to do that. And that's me. You know, I'm just having fun. I'm just dancing. I'm just, you know, living my best life. I think I'm just living my best life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some people are sending messages and say, no, instead of doing this, you should focus on your training. You know, that's why you lost your last fight. I'm like, fuck, why does he hurt you so much more than he hurt mm-hmm. me? Because I lost my last fight. I'm having best time of my life.
Yeah.
Best time of my life.
That's such a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instagram's supposed to be kind of fun, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, people are just people. Yeah. What can you say?
All right, Andrew, you want to take us on out of here?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, everybody, for checking out today's episode. Please drop us a comment down below. Let us know what you guys think about today's conversation. Make sure you guys subscribe if you guys are not subscribed already, and hit that like button on the way out. Please follow the podcast at MB Power Project on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. My Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter is at I am Andrew Z. And Seema, where are you at?
At Seema Yin Yang on Instagram and YouTube. At Seema Yin Yang on TikTok and Twitter. Discord is in the description, so go to that Discord because it's popping in there. Ella, where can people find you?
Instagram. Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Check me out. And if you have anything, if you have a comment, drop me a message. It's always a pleasure.
Where can people find any of your stretching routines? Or
On my Instagram, but also on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm at Mark Smelly Bell. Strength is never weakness. Weakness is never strength. Catch you guys later.
I like that. I like that.